Well, welcome to the Vineyard. We're so glad to see you in the house today. We have a special guest. Her name is Celeste Benton. She's all the way here from Seattle, Washington. Can we just give her a warm welcome? She's going to be worshiping with us today, and you might recognize her from the voice, but we're so glad to have her. And come on, as you stand to your feet, as we honor Jesus today, we're going to worship together. Amen. Here we go. Come sing with us. Here we go.
Staring into your eyes makes my heart come alive. You suddenly brought to life when I met you. And reaching beyond the skies, running deep, stretching wide. And perfect love realized here with you. This love is for real, we will never let go. It's more than just words now, beyond my control, out of control.
Here we go.
And this is real love, this is real love.
Closer and closer. It's who you are. It's who you are. It's who you are. And I'm loved by you. It's who I am. It's who I am. It's who I am.
Thank you. Savior of the world was fallen, his body on the cross, his blood poured out for us, the weight of every curse upon heaven. Looked away, the Son of God was laid in darkness. A battle in the grave, the war on death was waged, the power of hell forever.
We sing hallelujah.
name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. 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 God is so good. Come on, why don't you just turn to your right and your left and greet one another, and then you can be seated. God bless you.
We're going to continue in our worship with our giving. And we just wanted to let everybody know that after service, you can head over to the atrium. We have 2017 Vineyard gear for sale, and we're excited about that. Yeah, you can clap for that. That's okay. We've got hoodies and t-shirts and magnets and stickers and iPhone wallets. Look, we've got the grapes here. I got grapes everywhere on me right now. You know, they say they know us by our grapes, right? But no, if you are here, we want to let you know our Vineyard gear is in the atrium for sale. You can check that out after service. And also during our Open Door series, we wanted to hand out a gift for everyone that is here at Vineyard Cincinnati Church. And that gift is through Right Now Media. This is an opportunity of just tons and tons of resources for you, your family, your kids, your friends. And so if you would please put your attention to the video screen to give you a little bit more details about that.
Our church is a light in the darkness, a city on a hill. Every believer is called to make a difference in the world, to love God completely, and to make disciples of every nation. But in this busy, mobile, noisy world, it can be difficult to even do the basics, to pray, to read the Word, to bring the love of God to our marriages, families, neighbors, and coworkers. We know you're here because you want to be a part of God's mission on the earth. You want to experience the abundant life that Scripture talks about. You're looking to connect your faith to every part of your life, every day of the week. That's why our church is subscribing to Right Now Media and making it available for free to every member of our church. You'll have access to over 10,000 online Bible study videos on parenting, marriage, finance, discipleship, leadership, and many more. The videos can be used in Bible study groups or for personal devotion. There's also a huge library of safe biblical kids videos. We'd love to see every member of our church utilizing Right Now Media. Small group leaders leading their adult or youth groups through engaging Bible study series. Children enjoying safe programming that doesn't just entertain, but helps lay a strong spiritual foundation. Families spending quality time together, going through devotional Bible studies. Couples using biblical studies on marriage, parenting, and finance. Applying God's Word to every area of their lives. There is something for everyone. We want to help you grow as a disciple of Christ, and we want to help you become a disciple maker in your home, your school, your workplace, your neighborhood, in whatever mission field God has called you to. We believe that this free resource will help equip and unleash you to live out your faith in every area of life, to experience God-centered, abundant life, not just on Sundays, but every day. We are for you, and God is for you. He wants to empower you every day to live for Him. Together, we can be a light in the darkness, a city on a hill.
So if you want access to this free gift, if you would, head over to our website at vineyardcincinnati.com, and they'll give you instructions there on the homepage as to what to do. But basically, you'll need a login. You'll need to subscribe to this. And so they're just going to ask you on our website to email rightnowmedia@vineyardcincinnati.com, and then you will receive a login and access to all of these resources. So we're really excited about that. Would you please pray with me over our offering and our time together today? Father, we thank you for every person in this place. God, I just pray that you would bless us today, speak to us, and reveal yourself to each and every one of us. Lord, we give in this offering, Lord, not out of obligation, but out of obedience to your word. And so, God, bless us today and our time together. In Jesus' name we pray. And everybody said, amen.
Welcome to The Vineyard, and thanks for joining us today. If you're new, we'd like to extend a special welcome to you. Take home some reminders of your visit today. Just stop by any info area and pick up a free gift we prepared just for you. How does that work? You simply stop at an info area on your way out and say, "We're new here today." A happy person will hand you a gift. It's that easy. If you'd like more info about the church, you can also drop off a Connect card while you're there. We'd love to connect in a way that is helpful to you. Of course, whether you're new or not, we would be honored to pray for you. Simply fill out a prayer card and drop it off at any info area as well. Our staff prays together each week for these prayer requests.
Wired is a conversation starting event for middle school students and parents. This year, Wired is all about cravings and the media or technology students are looking to in order to satisfy those cravings. Students will experience a jam-packed weekend full of dynamic teaching, small group discussions and large group challenges, inflatables, a nacho bar, live music, prizes, and a sleepover at the Student Union. And parents, you will not want to miss the Saturday morning parent session, Alone Together. In this session, we will examine the leading technologies that are discipling your student and how to offer practical steps for how you can help your student use technology with wisdom. Wired takes place February 17th and 18th, but registration closes February 14th. So sign up today at vineyardcincinnati.com/wired. Hey, and one last thing, be sure to check out your program for more information on lots of other exciting things happening around Vineyard Cincinnati. Thanks for being here. It's great to be a part of the church. And as a part of the family, last week we welcomed Ricky Jackson, if you remember, if you were here. And I'm going to tell you, we actually had an opportunity. My family went to Cleveland this week for something that my daughter was involved in school, and that's where Ricky lives. We had a chance to go out to dinner with him and his fiance, and they were totally blown away by the love and acceptance of this church. And you might not know this, but last weekend I said, I'm going to do their ceremony in June. And then a photographer came forward, and then a florist came forward, and then a cake person came forward, and so, like, yeah. They were just completely blown away. Just so thankful for this place. We got to get in because we've got some stuff to talk about today. We're in the fourth week of this Open Doors series, and I've got so much more to say on this that we might have to go a fifth week, but I'm not sure yet. I haven't decided. Don't hold me to it. Revelation chapter 3, verses 7 and 8. Let's begin here. It says this: "To the angel of the church in Philadelphia, write, these are the words of him who is holy and true and who holds the key of David. What he opens, no one can shut, and what he shuts, no one can open. I know your deeds. See, I have placed before you an open door that no one can shut. I know that you have little strength, yet you have kept my word and have not denied my name." Jesus here is talking to John. John is on the island of Patmos, and he's been exiled because everywhere he goes, he causes trouble for people because he's so fired up about Jesus, and so they exile him. While he's there, he gets a revelation. The last book in the Bible is called Revelation, not Revelations, but just a revelation, and it's a revelation of what's going on in heaven, and also in this part, it's where Jesus is talking directly to seven churches in Asia Minor. It's interesting to me that Jesus knows what a local church is up to. Of all the stuff that he could talk about, he writes letters directly to these churches. Five out of the seven churches, he has something wrong with them, and he has something right with them. He has something he wants them to correct, and then he has an encouragement for them. But in two of the churches, Philadelphia being included, he just has encouragement. You're a church that's small, but you're mighty. You keep my word and you're staying strong, and therefore I've opened a door for you. How pumped would you be if the Son of God comes to you and says, 2017, I have an open door set before you this year? You say, man, glory to God. What is it? Right? That's the point of a door. A door is used throughout Scripture. Jesus calls himself a door. Paul, when he writes in the New Testament, he writes about how he's kept from going someplace, but then God opens this huge door of opportunity in this other place. When you think about a door, you think about opportunity. Do I keep the cash or do I go what's behind door number one? There's an opportunity there. It might just be a bag of bird seed. You don't know. When you think of an open door, you think of opportunity. You think, man, this is exciting. And I'm scared, right? If we were totally honest, you say there's an open door, but there can be fear there because you don't know what's beyond that door. There's opportunity, but there's also concern. You don't know what's beyond. The fact of the matter is that God uses doors because he wants you to decide. He wants you to make decisions. It was for freedom that Christ has set us free, and he likes when you have the freedom to choose. He wants you to choose, nobody to choose for you. By the way, if you ever get into it with a group of people and there's a leader that wants to make your decisions for you, run. That's called a cult. I'm serious. And people are duped every day because the fact of the matter is we would like at times for somebody else to make our decisions for us. It would be so much easier. In some regards, just make the decision. You ever get decision weary where you're just like, I'm tired of making decisions? Then you go to the Cheesecake Factory and they thunk that thing. It's the Bible, man. Boom. And you're like, dear God, there better be cheesecake at the end of this. They've actually trained wait staff in some restaurants that no matter what decision you make, they say to you, excellent choice. True. Splendid decision. If they say splendid, you're going to pay a lot for that food, by the way. They're actually trained some wait staff to say excellent choice because they understand that in the world we live in, we become weary from the decisions we have to make every single day. And a lot of times we sit there and say, I don't know, what are you having? I'll have that, but just not the healthy part. Okay, great. I say, what's the best food in the place? What is everybody else in here having? I'll take that. And then you get to the end and you get the cheesecake and there's 85 different selections. You're like, please. Excellent choice. You're like, oh, good. I was hoping so. I just came from Kroger from the jelly aisle, and there's like 45. I can't do it. That's why men, when we go shopping, we know what we want. It's a white shirt. You go to the store where the white shirts are. You get the white shirt. You leave. You conquer. And you're like, yeah, back in the chair. And you timed it, right? I don't want to make any more decisions. See, the fact is we make our decisions, and then our decisions make us. What if you are nothing more than an accumulation of your decisions to this point? And I know you're much more than that. That's a lot of it. When we talk about going through an open door, it's a fearful thing because we have to choose. We have to decide, and God likes it when you have to decide. Because you decide not just with your feet, not just with your mind, but you decide with your heart. Are you with me right now? Have you ever made a decision and it was the wrong decision, and once you get through, you realize the only reason you went through is because it was something you wanted that you really didn't need, but you got it anyway, and now you have to pray your way back out of that door, or am I alone? Well, it was more money. I'll just decide on that. It's more money, and you walk through the door, and you're God, I don't care how much money. I can't do this. Have you ever been there? Some of you are like, I'd like to be tested in that way. See, we struggle with doors because doors cause us to choose, and God likes it when we choose because that reveals what's in our heart. It's really a test, every single door, an opportunity to grow, not in comfort, but in character. And that's what he's interested in. You say, what is God's will for my life? See, when we talk about open doors, you say, well, I want to walk in his will. I want to know what his will for me is. His will for you is to be more like him. And he can use every situation to make that true. Matter of fact, you're in the perfect situation right now to become more like Jesus. I know you didn't want to hear it, and I don't want to say it, but it's true. Jesus said, follow me and I will make you become. He didn't say, follow me and I will go there, and then we'll go there, and then we'll go there. He said, follow me and I will make you become. He's more interested in who you become than where you go. Because if you will become like him, he'll take you wherever he wants. But before he takes you, he wants to make you, right? And this is when we go through a door, we say, oh, this is character forming stuff. It's not just go through the door and everything's wonderful and perfect. It's go through the door, make your decision, and then see what God wants to do to make you more and more like Him. So I have one simple truth today to share with you, and it's so simple, and here it is. About going through an open door, about moving forward in life. If you are going to move forward, you will have to leave something behind. One person agreed with me, and I see you. I love you. You're my favorite. It's my mom. You say, well, is this a big deal or not? If we are going to move forward, we will have to leave something behind. And yes, we do struggle with this. Have you figured this out yet? Life is one big transition. That's all it is. Have you been like me where you just want to freeze things? Like, I just want it to be, my ducks are almost in a row, and now it's tomorrow. And it's always changing. You're always in a new season. And if you're in a season, you're in that season for a while, and that's great. But you're coming out of that season. And the things that you love about where you are, they're going to be different when you get to where you're going. Or you can just stay where you're at, and some people do. It's called being stuck. And there's this resistance that we have on the inside because we want it all to just match up and line up and be great. And life is moving on, and God wants you to move forward. But if you move forward, you leave something behind. Some of the stuff you leave behind is good. You're like, bye. Some of the people you leave behind, bye. You can be honest with me. It's okay. Don't nudge the person. That's not right. Say, God just spoke to me. No. But some of the stuff you leave behind is difficult because you loved it while you were there. And it was good while you were there. But you're not there anymore. And God doesn't want you to be there. He's got somewhere for you to go. But in order to go, you got to leave. Have you ever known a guy? I'll pick on the guys for a second. The guy who was single, but now he's married, but in his mind, you still think he's probably pretty single. You know what I'm talking about?
Yes.
Still hanging out with his friends, still doing. If let me give you a little bit of advice. If you're married, you're no longer single. You've got to move on. You've got to go forward. But there's part of something back there that you love, but you've got to leave that behind. Say, I want to grow. I want to change. I want the business to grow, I want my family to grow, all those things. When you talk about growth, you're talking about change, you're talking about moving forward, and in order to move forward, you got to leave something behind. Most of the time when we think about growth, we imagine in our mind picking up everything about our life right now and just taking a move over and it expanding. That is not the way growth happens. If I told you your business was going to double this year, it's not just everything that you feel right now, but twice the size. It's losing some of what you've got in order to go forward. In order to go up, you have to give up something. This is a reality of life. And the challenge is, if we stay where we are, we'll never walk through that door. And sometimes the stuff that we love can get in the way. There's a problem with looking back. And as we're looking through Scripture and thinking about open doors, Genesis 19, 25, and 26, here's what it says. God overthrew these cities. He destroyed a couple cities in the Old Testament and the entire plain, and he destroyed all those living in the cities and also the vegetation in the land. Talking about Sodom and Gomorrah, he destroyed it because of its sinfulness. But Lot's wife looked back. And she became a pillar of salt. Sometimes when you're reading through the Bible, you think, man, the punishment doesn't fit the crime. You want to flip over to the New Testament and see where that nice lovey-dovey Jesus is, because that God in the Old Testament just treated somebody poorly right there. It was a sinful city. And sin in Scripture many times will actually have an aroma. It goes up into God's nostrils, and he hates sin. He's going to destroy the city. He gives them an opportunity to repent. Actually, Abe is Lot's uncle. You following me? Lot has an uncle, Abe. and Uncle Abe comes and prays to God and says, "Don't, if I find 50 righteous in the city, will you not destroy it?" And God said, "Okay, 50. Abe said, "Oh, I don't want to bother you again, but 45? And God, with a heart that is not bent on destruction, folks, if he wanted to destroy you, could it not have already been done? Is his arm too short to wipe us out in a moment? He doesn't long to destroy you. He longs to save you. That's why he destroyed himself for you. He sent his son to die for us. He wants us to be saved. That's his desire. And so, hey, 40? And he says, "Okay, 40. 35, can you give me 30? 25, 20, can you give me 20? Can you..." Finally, Abe gets him down to 10. And you can feel the heart of God in the story. I think if Abe would have said, "If there's one righteous," God would have said, "Dang it, you got me. If there's one, yeah, that's fine. Because I want them saved more than I want them destroyed. I want them saved more than I want them destroyed. I want them saved." They couldn't find 10. And Lot is there, the nephew of Abraham, and he tells his son-in-laws, "God's going to destroy this city, and we got to get out." And they laughed at him. And they were destroyed. He had to grab his daughters by the hands and his wife, and he had to drag them out of the city. "God is going to destroy this city," and he drags them out. But it said that his wife looked back. But I say, man, did she just look back? I mean, she just took her eyes, she just looked back. What's the harm in that? You're just looking back. I mean, you're interested, right? It's brimstone, it's fire. You've never seen anything like this before. You got your phone out, you're going to just tap a picture. What's the deal? She looked back with her heart. It was a longing look. I desire what is there, not what is ahead of me. You know, that breaks God's heart. And if you're longing for that, like the children of Israel who come out of slavery and out of bondage, and God gives them water from a rock, and he provides bread from heaven, and he has a pillar of cloud by day and fire by night. He's taking care of all of their needs. And as soon as they come into a rough patch, they go, "Dear, wasn't it great when we were in slavery? He sent us out here to die. Let's go back." They were longing with their heart to go back. So he said, "Okay, your 2-week journey just turned into 40 years. You want that?" You see how God responds to looking back, but not just looking back, not a glance, but a longing to the way it was. Let me tell you something. Yesterday ended last night, folks. It ended. You can't go back. You cannot go back. You can go forward. That's all you can do. And you can do that by his grace and with his mercy. You can go forward. And he wants us to go forward. Luke 7, so you go to the New Testament, you say, "Did Jesus say anything about this?" Luke 17, glad you asked. Luke 17, 31 through 33. You think I'm talking fast now? You should have seen the translator the last service, man. Her hands were on fire. I feel so bad for them trying to do that. Luke 17, 31 through 33 says this: "On that day," Jesus is talking about his second coming, "no one who is in the housetop with possessions inside should go down to get them." Does this make sense to you? "Likewise, no one in the field should go back for anything. Remember Lot's wife," Jesus says. "Whoever tries to keep their life will lose it, and whoever loses their life will preserve it." Part of the upside-down kingdom of God. Have you discovered this yet? You tried to hang on to your precious life. I know I did. And the more I hung on, the more I died. And then I finally white-knuckled, released, and surrendered to God after all of his great patience, and I gave him my life, right? And what I was clinging to have, I lost. And what I surrendered to, then all of a sudden, light and life I gained. In dying, I live. This is your experience as a believer. And now in living, he's calling me forward, and this is not going to be encouraging. It's a death march. Everything that he's nudging you about in your life to come unto me, he's saying, is another opportunity for you to release, for you to surrender, for you to give up, for you to walk through the door and have real life. Not your life, but his life. And this is what he's talking about. Remember Lot's wife. She went after her life and lost it. Or you can come after me and get eternal life. Get the life you've always wanted. Every new opportunity means a death to some portion of the old reality. Every new opportunity presented by God means a death to some portion of the old reality. It's got to die. And some of that's painful. Jesus described it this way: new wine needs new wineskins. We don't really use wineskins. You put wine in a wineskin, and then as the wine ferments, the wineskin goes along with the wine. And then once that wine is empty, you don't put new wine in it, because now the wineskin is stretched and has now become brittle to the place where it fit the old wine perfectly. But if you put new wine in and it starts to ferment, then it'll break, you see. So you need, with new wine, you need new wineskin. God's saying, I want to do something new. Jesus is saying, when I'm coming to you right now, this is a whole new, never-before-seen deal before in your life. You've never seen anything like this. Jeremiah 33:3 says, call unto me and I'll show you great and mighty things you know not of. That means things you have never seen before. Brand new from the mind of God, never seen before. And that means some of the old stuff is going to die in order for you to see that. We're like, well, there's part of that I really like. Like, I remember when my 19-year-old daughter, I remember when she was 6, and we put her on a bus, and she was at a school. She had a little uniform. And when the bus drove off, I won't lie to you. I shed a tear, maybe more than one. Maybe I bawled like a baby. You'll never know. I don't know. Well, that season's over. Oh. And yeah, it's hard. But them apron strings have to be cut if she's going to go make a difference in the world that God has called her to make. She can't stay at home forever. Glory to God, that's a good place for you to say amen if you've got teenagers. They can't live there forever. They got to go, right? They've got to launch. They've got to go. They got to fly. Some of you are picturing this right now. You're like, go in Jesus' name. That's the only thing you got out of the message right there. Luke chapter 9, 57 through 62. Let's go on with what Jesus is saying. He said that they were walking on the road, and a man said to Jesus, I will follow you wherever you go. Beware of bold claims. Jesus replied, foxes have dens and birds have nests, but the Son of Man has no place to lay his head. He said to another man, follow me. But he replied, Lord, first let me go and bury my father. And Jesus said to him, let the dead bury their own dead, but you go and proclaim the kingdom of God. Sometimes Jesus is mean. Still another said, I will follow you, Lord, but first let me go back and say goodbye to my family. And Jesus replied, no one who puts a hand to the plow and looks back is fit for service in the kingdom of God. I mean, unless you pick your cross up and carry me, you're not worthy of me. Maybe we make it too easy to follow Jesus. Maybe we make it too easy. Maybe we tell people that you get eternal life and your sins forgiven and life is perfect. Let me just give you a disclaimer right now. There are doors that God has for you to walk through that will shape your character, that will make you more like him, and you will lose some things. You will lose some things. There's some things you need to lose. Some old ways of thinking. Some old friends that aren't doing you any good. Some old relationships that are not helping you serve God at all. If he wants you to be back with him, he'll bring them back. He's interested in forming who you are. You'll lose some things. You'll lose some things. But you'll gain him. I want to know him in the likeness of his suffering. I want to really know what Jesus is like. Well, he's got a door for that. Come on and walk through the door. I'll make you like me. See, he bid you at first come and follow, and you were curious and you came to follow him. But then once you started giving your life to him, he says, not just come and follow, but now he says, come and die. And now he's got you. So you say, yes, yes, that's actually what I want. That's actually what I want. The best example of this, really, really walking away and wholeheartedly serving God, walking through the door and moving forward, is Elijah, when Elijah gets called into ministry. You know, there's two Elijahs, and unfortunately, they have the exact same name. The only difference is Elijah, number one, has a J in his name, Elijah, and then the other Elijah has Elisha. Well, I'm not going to all that trouble. E1 and E2, that's what I call them. E1 says, you're going to replace me. E2 is plowing the field. While he's plowing the field, E1 comes by and throws his mantle on him and says, you're going to follow me. Now, he didn't know this at the time, but E2, who was plowing, he's going to do more miracles than anybody in Scripture. God will do more miracles through him, second only to Jesus Christ. And here's his response. Dude's plowing away. Two cows. I come from a farming background. You got two cows. You got a plow in the ground, and he's farming, and E1 comes and drops this on him. He says, I'm going to go kiss everybody goodbye. This is different than looking back. This is different than what they told Jesus. There were people who told Jesus, let me go take care of my parents for the rest of their life, and then after I'm done with all that important stuff, then I'll come follow you. Jesus said, come follow me. He said, let me go take care of all my business, all my money, all my stuff, and cares of this world, and then when that is done, I will come and follow you. Jesus said, no, no, no. Let the dead bury their own dead. But not so with E2. Man, Elijah, he's got the heart response right. Here's what it says in 1 Kings 19. So E2 returned to his oxen and slaughtered them. Slaughtered them. He used the wood from the plow to build a fire to roast their flesh. Dude. And he passed around the meat to all the townspeople. This is Super Bowl Sunday. This is a perfect example. He passed around all the meat, glory to God, to all of the townspeople, and they all ate. And then he went with E1 as his assistant. You do realize that as a farmer, this was his equipment. This was his plan B. This was his fallback plan. This was in case that doesn't work, the whole God thing, then I can always go back and I got, you know, my stuff. Hand me the axe. Man, tore it up. We're going to make a fire. I'm going to build a fire out of all of the livelihood that I could come back to. And then I'm going to take the cattle, these valuable cattle that I have right here, and I'm going to slaughter them. And then he was everybody's favorite that day. Barbecue for everybody. What is this? This is a goodbye party. This is a farewell party. I'm kissing all y'all goodbye. And I'm going to ride off and I may never be back. I'm thankful for what you've been to me. I'm thankful for my hometown. I love you, Mama. I love you, Daddy. But I have to go. Builds a fire. Makes some steak. And he's not coming back. If you'll give God your past, he will give you his future. If you'll give God your past. Elisha says, everything up until this point has been fantastic, and I'm going to burn it as a sacrifice unto you, Lord, and I am moving forward in you. Man, when I read this story, it fires me up. I want to be like that. I want that heart, and I know you want that heart too. We've asked Celeste to come and sing this song, and as she sings it, I believe it captures really the essence of what we're talking about today. Would you help me welcome back again Celeste as she comes?
Over in you, all
things are made new. Surrendered my life to Christ. I'm moving, moving forward. Oh, yes. You have risen with all power in your hands. You have given a second chance. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. To declare to you, the past is over in you. All things are made new. Surrender my life to Christ. I'm moving, I'm not going back. I'm moving ahead. I'm here to declare to you, my past is over in you. All things are made new. My life to Christ. I'm moving, moving forward. Oh, said I'm moving forward. Yes, yes. 'Cause you made all things.
Stay standing with me, or stand if you're not standing. Oh yeah, we're standing. We wanted to give an opportunity, before I say a simple prayer and dismiss, for us to make a symbolic gesture. The truth is that most of the doors that we walk through and decisions that we make, the nudges that the Holy Spirit gives us, are small. Now, every now and then in life, there's a big decision. Yes. But really, life is an accumulation of small decisions, nudgings, and a willingness or an unwillingness on our part. Now, I know God well enough to know that the Holy Spirit is with us and has been nudging, as He does. He's relentless in this way. And He may be nudging you in a way of getting in. I remember when the Lord first told me, get involved in junior high ministry. That's a nudge I kind of resisted, you know. He might be nudging you in ministry, nudging you in generosity, nudging you in giving, nudging you in a relationship that needs to be fixed or forgiveness that needs to happen. There's all these different ways the Holy Spirit nudges you. And we want to give you an opportunity to respond in a practical way. So in just a moment, if that's you, I'm going to ask you to step out from where you are. And we haven't
ever done this before, but just to move forward. And you'll come all the way to the front here and don't push or shove. And then in the balcony as well. Come all the way to the front of the balcony and no further if you please. And in this way, we'll just respond to God and say, I sent you nudging, and I want you to know that I'm willing. And then we'll just say a simple prayer to close. So if that's you, would you make your move now? Small way or a large way, I just sense you're nudging me and I'm saying yes. That's it. I'm willing. This is, of course, the fourth time we've done this weekend, and I must tell you that every single time we respond, it's the Spirit of God so pleased with willingness. I spent so many years not willing to follow God, resistant. He doesn't need ability. He just wants availability. His people just saying, yes, that's it. And it's so pleasing to him. So, Father, we just come to you today as your children. And, Father, for all these folks who have felt your nudge, but beyond that, they've said yes to you today. In all of the, it's just fun to think about, Father, all of the hundreds of ways you've nudged us this weekend. What's beautiful is when your people just say, yes, yes, I'm willing. But Lord, now we want to tell you that we don't do this in our own strength or because we're so smart or we have this willpower. But we come to you, we move forward and we say we are dependent upon your grace to even obey you. You said if we were willing and obedient, we would eat the good of the land. We would prosper in that way. So we say, yes, we're willing and obedient. And now we require your grace to finish this thing. So come and be with us, Father, and see our hearts fully given to you, and may it be pleasing to you. We thank you, Father, for a wonderful weekend, and we pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Would you join me in giving the Lord a round of praise? It'd be a great opportunity to give someone a high five or a hug if you're so inclined. Have a great week. We love you.